There's been some talk among the young fellas about my age. And one of the young fellas asked, he said, John, is it true that you were discipled by Moses? I said, no, that's not true. That's incorrect. I tried to get Moses to disciple me, but he was busy. I was discipled by Doss. Jim, thank you so much. It sure is fun to entertain you with stories of God's provision. I'll just give you one. When we were in New Zealand, the fellows there passed a rule, decided that the outsiders, the missionaries, couldn't raise money in New Zealand. All the money had to go to the local reps, which was one of my jobs, raising money for the local reps, but I couldn't raise money for myself. Discipled a farmer, and his name was Roland Richardson. One day he said, John, Helen, my wife and I, Joy and I, would like to support you and Helen. And I said, well, Roland, the law of the Medes and the Persians says that we can't raise money from Kiwis. Oh, really? He was quite surprised. Oh, he says, what verse is that, actually? And I said, well, I don't actually have a verse. And we talked on a bit, and he says, do you eat beef? I said, yes, we eat beef. And he said, do you have a freezer? I said, yes, we have a freezer. Well, about a week or so later, here came a quarter of a beef. And for 7 years, he furnished us in beef. We wanted a little variety. And it... And so in New Zealand, they have wild turkeys, but there's no laws that govern the wild turkeys because the original stock was tame. And so you can shoot them anytime, day or night, hens, gobblers, what have you. So there's a farm out there, a farmer that I knew that had quite a bunch of wild turkeys. And I asked him, I said, do you mind if I harvest a few? I don't kill any things anymore. It's bad to kill things. I harvest them. So my wife and I would sneak out at night and pick off a couple of gobblers off the fence and come home. And here would be 10 o'clock at night, you know, cleaning these gobblers and putting them in the freezer. My son is here. And if he slips and gobbles a couple of times, it's because he was raised on turkey. By the way, we're going fast during coffee break today and go directly from here to your workshop, so don't be worried about your coffee because you're not going to get any. You have in front of you an outline, the laws of the harvest. In fact, I could use the outline I was sitting on right there. It's better when you sit on outlines, you know. I won't be getting through. If I had an hour and a half, I wouldn't be getting through either. So, but you have here the outline. And I want you to turn to Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And I'll be using the King James, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Let's, in unison, let's go through that together. It'll sound like we're talking in tongues, but we're not. We're actually reading it. So, ready? Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We reap what we sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Fellows, be careful about what you think about. Jerry mentioned, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in our heart? So be careful what you're meditating upon. Because one day when the God and the devil meets in your heart, what's in your heart's going to come out. It's a cause and effect law. Be very careful. I had a problem for a long time. By the way, from time to time I'll be drinking this liquid here. It looks like water, really. With anger. I wasn't angry all the time. Just when old Jerry Goo here would get the tractor stuck, I would get angry. But from time to time, my anger would get out of control, and I would be just like I was back on the construction foreman with handling men before when I was lost. I learned that from my father. You know, my father could draw a bucket of blood without even using a knife, you see. And so I learned that. But that's wrong. But I never quite got victory over that. It was in my heart. And it would come out at the oddest times, and I'd be terribly embarrassed. One time, we were in New Zealand, and we had a rally, and we came home, and one of the guys fouled up at the rally. I forgot what he did, actually. But I came home and lit into my wife. And she very nicely said, "Daddy, I'd like to say something." I said, "Sure, sweetheart," by this time. "I'm not in charge of the rally. In fact, I'm not in charge of anything." I said, "Well, hon, I know that." "Well, then why do you blast me?" "Well, the reason I blasted her, she was there." Well, I went for a walk in the garden that night. And the Lord laid on my heart, and I talked to him. I said, "God, I'm a mad man. I'm a mad father. I'm a mad missionary. I'm a mad wife. And Lord, I guess I'll be mad all of my life. Because I cannot improve myself. I'm sorry, I confess it is sin, but God, I am absolutely helpless." And the Lord seemed to say, "John, I've been waiting a long time for you to say that. Sure, you can't help it, but I can help you, you see? You just give it to me and I'll help you, you see? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And that night, God broke anger in my life. That night. Through the word of God, a verse coming into my life broke it. And I won't say that I haven't been angry since, but I will say, and my wife can testify, that I haven't gone into those spells. And would you believe, there are fewer and fewer and fewer. You never will be perfect. You never will be altogether free. You never will be where you can relax. But you can sure be where you can be happy with yourself. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Do you remember Joseph, a teenager? He had lofty ideals, but his brothers had wickedness in their heart. And when Joseph went after to look, check on his brothers, the opportunity came, and the devil and God had a battle there, and the devil won that one temporarily, and they threw Joseph in prison, you see. And so, if you have a problem with lust, anger, greed, sooner or later, the opportunity will present itself and you'll reap what you sow. So at this conference, as Jerry has been laying it on us to get into the Word and to apply the word. I have a Bible study on Monday night with some fellows that I'm really enjoying. One young man just got out of prison. And by the way, he's accepted the Lord since we, in the last couple of months, and been baptized. And last Monday night, actually, he quoted 9 verses. Really, really coming on. We're enjoying it. The other night, we're doing Bible study. Bible study consists of reading the book of St. John out loud. Read a chapter and talk about it. Read a chapter and talk about it. Read a chapter and talk about it. A paragraph, rather. Just read right around. And the first night, we got through the first chapter, really. And the second night, we got through about 2 chapters. One of the fellows mentioned, said, "You know, John, these fellows that were giving Jesus such a bad time, they sure knew a lot of Bible. They sure knew a lot of Scripture." And I took the opportunity and said, "Fellas, that's absolutely fantastic. We'll get to it later on, but let's jump over there. In 14, John chapter 14, 21, it says, 'He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.'" I said, "You see, Jesus Christ manifests himself to a person that obeys, not a person that knows." One of our top men one time was working with Dawson, and Dawson said, "Don, how many verses you know?" "Oh, Dawson, I don't know. About 1,500, I guess." He says, "I wish you knew 500 or 300 or 200, and they knew you." I was told that by Don himself, and so I began to take my quantity of verses and cut them down and pray over them. And I'm in this process now of cutting down on my verses. I got several boxes of verses. And praying over these and memorizing them and asking God, "God, I want these verses to know me as well as me know them verses." See, I know a lot of verses. I can still quote them. But they don't all know me. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." One, we reap only what has been sown. The race problem in America. "The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God," Psalm 9:17. Slavery. In 1840, you could pick up a schooner in England for $6,000. Go to Africa and pick up a load of slaves, come to America and sell them, and go back and give your schooner away if you wanted to. You'd clear $40,000. In 1840, you could retire in Great Britain on $40,000. Just one load of souls, sold into slavery would make you retire. "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God." There's talk now about retribution. You can't make retribution. You can confess your sins, but you can't make retribution. Because a law is a law, and whatever is done is done. I told you last year about a wreck that Helen and I had in which the pickup ran over me. And it broke 2 arms and a leg and 3 ribs and quite a few other bruises. Well, that brings on quite a bit of pain. I did not ask God to take away the pain, because my doctrine can't let me do that. Because there's a cause and effect and it's already happened. But I ask God, "You give me strength to endure the pain." And so many times problems come into your life and my life, and we say, "Oh, God, take away these problems." Come on, man. We're soldiers. You don't take away problems. You conquer problems. "Lord, give me strength. Give me wisdom. You show me how." We reap only what has been sown. In Germany, I was in Germany, one time, about 1959, met Youth for Christ director who had done quite a bit of research, and And the Germans had annihilated one-third of the Jewish population in the world. And, of course, many of those were German citizens. When it was all over, one-third of the Jewish population had been lost, and then another third of the Jewish population had been left behind the Iron Curtain. You see, God's going to get his. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. People are praying. And fellas, we need to pray. I'm sure many of us have been praying for our president and his cabinet. I understand we're bombing the outskirts of Iraq yesterday, hitting the communication centers. Pray. If my people who are called by my name should pray. See, we're the ones that can control the world because we can turn the hand of God. Remember, was it Joshua? He was fighting and he needed a little more time. And he said, "Sun, stand still. And moon, you stay over there." And the Bible says there's been no day before or since that God Almighty hearkened to the voice of a man. God will listen to you, it says in the Bible. In New Zealand, their attitude toward the Maori was entirely different than our attitude toward the American Indians. And of course, their problems are different, and I think much less than ours. They did not annihilate any of them. They stole their land, and they got a set of problems now. Number two, we reap the same kind as we sow. Job 4:8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. A number of years ago, I was in Spokane, Washington, and I was teaching counselor training class for an evangelist, a young evangelist about the age of Dr. Graham then. And one night he spoke on this verse, Job 4:8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And the Holy Spirit saw fit to convict that audience, and me included. And I thought, you know, maybe I better go forward. I was in charge of counselor training now. I was the guy in charge of all the people who's going to come down here and deal with these people and do the personal work, you see? And I was so convicted, I really wanted to go forward. I didn't, by the way, because I didn't think it would be quite appropriate, you see? My heart was broken a few years after that when this fella left his wife and ran off with someone else. You see? If I sow wickedness, I'll reap it. If I plow iniquity, I'll reap it. If an evangelist plows iniquity, he will reap it. You see, God is no respecter of persons. There's laws. I'm talking about laws. We'll talk about grace at another time. And we're not excusing these laws from grace. But won't God somehow just forgive it? Won't it just somehow be all right? No. No. Because there's a law of cause and effect. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send his rain on the just and on the unjust. David made a statement, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why could he say that? Because he started off, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Job, you remember, Jacob and Esau were twins, but Esau was born first, so he had the birthright. But his mother, Rebekah, their mother, Rebekah wanted Jacob to have the birthright. So she told Jacob to go out into the flock their dad, Isaac, had told Esau to go get a deer and make him that venison stew like Mike Thomas makes, and bring it to him, and they'd have a little service there, and he would bless him. While Esau was gone to look for the deer, Rebekah told Jacob, said, "You dash out into the flock and get two little goats, and you bring it to me, and I will make this stew, and you'll get the blessing." Now, how she could make goats taste like venison, I don't know. I tried that. Wild goats in New Zealand, and I had the fellas dress me out one, a little nice young kid, you know. I took it home, and my wife tried to cook it, and we could hardly stay in the house. We eventually dumped it out and then deodorized around. But some way, she could make this taste like venison. And so you remember that Jacob stole the birthright from his brother with the blood of a goat. A little later on, Jacob had some sons, Joseph being his fair-haired boy. And you remember they took Joseph and put him in the pit and took his coat of many colors, and they killed an animal. And they dipped it in blood and sent it back to their father. What kind of an animal was it? Goat. It had to be a goat. See, he deceived his daddy with a goat. He was deceived by a goat. Isn't that unreal? Doesn't that make you shudder? And Jacob said, "Few and evil have been the days and years of my life. Few and evil." He made it. He made the decisions. He made the decision. One of the great patriarchs, you see. Number three, we reap in a different season than we sow. Farmer takes time for investing crops. Time is on our side, by the way. Time is not your enemy. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Oh, I just don't have enough time. Oh, yes, you do. You have all kinds of time. You have as much time as you need. I didn't get married till I was 35 years old. My first child, we lost our first child 3 years later, and 2 years later, I'd been 40 years old. We had our first child, Liv, a boy, and 4 years after that, I was 44 years old. We had our girl, and she'd been gone from home 18 years. Isn't that interesting? See, you've got all kinds of time if God wants you to have it. Time is on our side. We exercise to tear down muscles, and in time, it builds them back. Proverbs 30, verse 20, "He who walks as a companion with wise men shall be wise, but he who associates with self-confident fools will be a fool himself and shall smart for it." We store up time in education and money and in strength and experience. Psalm 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." One of the young men reminded me at breakfast this morning. He said, "John, I remember about 8 or 9 years ago, you were praying for 500 men. There's a couple hundred of us. You were praying for 500 men. I said, "Yes, I have some secret prayers. Now I won't tell you till I fulfill, though. I have some secret prayers. There's over 600 of us, you see. Fellas, did it ever occur to you if we each reach just 2 or 3, 4 or 5? One a year? How about one every other year?" Well, that's a different sermon. Isaiah 30, verse 18, "And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you." Isaiah 40, 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Habakkuk 2:3, "But these things I plan for you won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when division will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They'll not be overdue a single day." Isaiah 64:4, "But since the beginning of the world, Men have not heard nor perceived with the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for them. What you need, young men? You need to get through college? Need to get your degree? Need to get your advanced degrees? You need a wife? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Number four. We reap more than we sow. That's the nature of farming. Bushel of wheat makes many, many, many bushels of wheat. Our investment, it reaps. When I first started with the Navigators, we made $11 a week in board and room. And then I got married, and the wife was considered on staff, and she got $11 a week. That made $22 a week. Then we had a baby, and we got allowed $5.50 a week. We had another baby, so we eventually got $33 a week. Wife and two children. I told my wife, the first month we were married, we got our $11. I said, sweetheart, we're going to give 10 and save 10. She said, we're not going to take $2 to the bank. I said, no, we're going to save it up till we get 10. We're going to take it to the bank. And we have made a practice of giving 10 and saving 10. And today, we can give much more than 10. And we can save much more than 10. And God has supplied our every need and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. It's a law. You see, it's a law. It's a law. Live within your means regardless. I remember a couple of times later on when our bookkeeping changed, Jim, I remember two times I got a $9 check. If I was sending out those checks, I'd put a note in there, don't spend it all in one place. Yeah. But you see, God will fulfill every promise that he ever made. I want you to go away with one thought. We reap what we sow. And I don't want it all to be negative. You remember Paul Revere. You've seen the pictures of his riding and his coattail flying, you see? Well, actually, the rest of the story is Paul Revere didn't really do that. Paul Revere was arrested about 1 o'clock. And there's a fellow named Prescott that did what we think Paul Revere did. And this fellow Prescott went to these Minutemen and knocked on their door and got up, and they saddled up. And probably the horse was already saddled. And by daylight, 46 men were riding, spreading the word, the redcoats are coming, the redcoats are coming, the redcoats are coming, you see. And that's the way we can do it. It's a law. It's a law. You can get your church, and you can get 10,000 people. And I don't know what it is. Let me take a drink before I do this one. But there's something about the electricity when you come up on stage and there's 10,000 people out there and they're your parishioners. I know there's something that just draws it out of you. By the way, in my speech class, the lady said, John, you know, you got a beautiful introduction. But you really could use a conclusion. And so many of my... I think about that when sometimes when I'm in church and it goes on and on and on. And they could use a conclusion. But there's something about it. But... Jim, there's not all that much electricity when you're meeting at McDonald's with one guy, is there? Are you meeting with a couple of high school kids, you know, after school, you see? I mean, if you don't have vision in your soul, if you don't have this thing down deep, you won't stay with it. I was talking to one of the Nav staff from Glenary, and I said, we got one basic problem in the navigators right now. Well, we got a lot of them, but one of them. So many of our fellows on staff, Jim White, has joined the navigators organization. They did not join the navigators movement. See, you can't fire me. You know, no one, you can't fire me. I work for myself. It's a movement. And if you see that vision of meeting with one man, meeting with two guys, meeting with three guys, see? And you never can tell what people are going to do. We had a guy, many of our friends here, Jeff Laughlin up at Oklahoma State. Jeff had a degree in building. Real nice fella, country boy, had a real sweetheart for a wife, but Jeff lacked a lot of things. He had one particular gift, still has it. First, to do it wrong the first time. Yeah. I had him finish out my kitchen. He's a carpenter, good carpenter, but he did it wrong the first time. See? He has a gift. But God sent Jeff to Russia. And Jeff started a Bible school. And Jeff is now training young Russians to go out into the bush. Jeff is the kind of guy that can move into a house with no inside plumbing. Jeff is the kind of guy that could have six kids with no running water. See, he's that kind of a guy. He applied for Dallas, and they said, Mr. Laughlin, thanks, but no thanks. He couldn't get in, you see. But God saw fit. Jeff is a faithful man. Jeff believes Galatians 6, 7, and 8. He believes you reap what you sow. I'm looking at what I can leave out. King David, I read you in Psalms where he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But King David had a basic problem. We think it was Uriah and Bathsheba. We think it was Bathsheba, you see, but it wasn't. Because before Bathsheba, King David had six wives by the time he was 30 years old. King David had to write himself, I lost my pencil. That's in yours. Oh. My eyes crossed at the wrong time there. King David had to copy Deuteronomy 17:17. Deuteronomy 17:17 says, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. King David had to copy that out of the scriptures here, his own copy, by the way, that he's supposed to read every day. Now, the priest was standing over here looking over his shoulder to be sure he copied it correctly. That's in the Bible, see? So he copied. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. But he broke that. So when he saw Bathsheba taking a bath, no big deal, you know. And then it led to him taking her. And then he sent for Uriah, one of his lieutenants, maybe a major. And so he come home and he said, well, hey, man, how's it going? And he told him, he said, well, going down to your wife. He thought he'd get his, he'd been shacking up with Bathsheba, see. He thought that he'd get his husband to go home, then you wouldn't know whose baby it was, you see. But Uriah was such a faithful man. He says, my master Joab's in the field. I shall not go to bed. So he slept in the barracks. He slept at the king's doorstep. So he sent him back to the front line and had him killed. Pushed him out in a pincer movement so he'd be sure and be killed. And he took Bathsheba. It says in the Old Testament, when you steal a sheep, you pay for it with four sheep. David had one man killed. He paid for it with four of his sons. See, it's a law. It's a law. Fellas, this book is something else. I mean, it's called Bible. It really is something else, you see. It's a law. And so he lost four of his sons, and he lost his wives, and he was chased all over the paddock, all over the pasture, by Absalom, one of his sons, you see. King David, in this life, lived a miserable, miserable life. King David wrote the Psalms. We meditate in the Psalms. We enjoy what he wrote. But in this life, he really blew the war. He goofed. It's a cause and effect. Number five, we reap in proportion as we sow. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, but this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A few years ago, I talked it over with Helen, and I said, Mom, let's just look and constantly look for what we can give and how we can help and what we can give. We don't have, now don't take this too personally, we don't have garage sales in my house. We've never had a garage sale. When we get something we don't want, we ask one of the kids in the Bible study, hey, how would you like this? My daughter left her bedroom suit, and we have enough finances now to change it, you know. So I found one of the fellas who could use a bedroom suit. So we give him a bedroom suit, you see? Because we can do that. No squeeze at all, really. Give. Look, you see, to have a good garage sale, you've got to save up enough stuff to have a good garage sale to make it worth your while, right? I'd say it'd take 10 to 15 years to save up stuff to make a good garage sale. So here you've been walking over crud that you really don't want, you see, for 10 or 15 years trying to get out of the way and push it in and pack it into a room that you don't really want till you get enough for a garage sale. How much do you get out of it? I'm not going to answer that because I don't know. Pass it on. Look for somebody to help. Make it a law. Make it a law. Make it a rule. What about your clothes? What about in your clothes closet? For years, I've looked for guys that could use some extra clothes and give them away. And we have a lady that comes help us with the cleaning, and she's got a bunch of kids. And if I can't find anybody else, she'll take it. She'll take it all, you see. Just the spirit of helping people. What's going to happen? Jim White says, I'm going to be blessed. And Jim White, you're right, boy. You're absolutely right. It's just absolutely fantastic. Where are we, six? We reap the full harvest only if we persevere. The evil comes to harvest on your own. By the way, put down the word perseverance and then do a little study. Just take the Bible and look at all the places perseverance comes, particularly in the New Testament, see? Persevere. Ecclesiastes 10:18, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of hands the roof caveth in. Proverbs 23:21, drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. As you get older, some of you are old already, as you get older, this old body begins to call for things that it didn't used to call for, like more rest and more time sitting and so on. You have to learn to live by your mind. Fellas, many days I keep going because my mind says keep going when my body says, John, go take a nap. See? But I want to reap the benefits of keeping going, not of taking a nap. You know? I was raised as a bricklayer and a builder. And I told this to some of the fellas. One time I was an apprentice and working with my father, and about 18 to 19 years old, and we were laying a foundation, and the footing had been poured, and the footing was about this far below the ground. So we had to lay the bricks. We had to lay the bricks below our feet, you see. And I raised up, and I said, you know, Dad, boy, you know, I said, when I raise up, my back just kills me. He said, son, he said, try not to raise up. That's the way I was raised. See? And you know what? That really comes into effect now. Because I'm enjoying life as much or more than I've ever enjoyed it, fellas. Listen to me. I enjoy fishing. I enjoy hunting. We're going to get us a new boat, and it's going to be a little lighter than the other one was. So my wife and I can both launch it. See, we've already picked it up. We went to the store and picked it up. We can both handle it, you see. Years ago, we had got one with 200 pounds heavier. But that's all right. That's all right. We reap what we sow, and it's perseverance. 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 Did you know that I check out my verses? I have my verses, and I check out my verses. When I check Don's verses, I let him check my verses, see? I am still in the race. I just never quit. Number 7. We can't do anything about last year's harvest, but we can about this year's. Analyze, think about last year, learn our lessons, and move on. Don't mope around. Take action. Start where we are now. Joshua 7. If you've got an NIV, turn to Joshua 7, verse 10. I really like that one. That'll do you good. Joshua 7, verse 10. He had told them to go take the land, and they had been defeated. And Joshua was weeping about being defeated. Verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down there on your face? Sometimes we're down on our face, and God says, get up. Whatever's happened, get it squared away and move on. Stand up. I'm reading it word for word. What are you doing down there on your face? Don't you love that? What are you doing down on your face? Get up. Move on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good time. Help us to put into practice the laws of cause and effect. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, man.